Yeah. So this morning we're going to talk about the Holy Spirit. We said this last week, and we've been speaking about for quite a number of weeks about the work that God does in me and the work that God wants to do through me, through my life. And those things are all things of the kingdom and things that the Lord wants to do in our lives. And when we ended last week's meeting, for those that were here, there was just a strong feeling amongst us that before we can get to doing these things, before we can get to saying, Lord, I'm open, I surrender so that you can work in me, before I surrender my life and the Lord does things through my life, there's such a vital person that needs to come into this discussion. And that is the person of the Holy Spirit. Because he is the one that empowers and equips and helps and trains and shows and leads us into these things that God has for us. And so if we don't go to the Holy Spirit, we will be like a half-baked cake. You will have all the ingredients. You will know exactly. Your head will know. You will understand. Oh, God wants to work in me. Oh, God wants to work through me. But when you get to that place of actually doing it, you will struggle. You will stumble. And if it's not for the Holy Spirit, we will struggle to do this. And I was actually wanting to preach this morning about baptism in the Holy Spirit, about infilling of the Holy Spirit. And we are going to go there this morning. I'm telling you already now, there's going to be this opportunity at the end of the service where we're all going to get the opportunity to just surrender ourselves before the Lord and submit ourselves before the Lord and say, Lord, I want an infilling of the Holy Spirit. And I'm going to trust that this morning, because you know in Acts 2, I read it last week, when the disciples were all in the upper room and the Holy Spirit fell on them on the day of Pentecost, there was no teaching that went before that. There was no teaching where Peter or someone said, listen, before we go, we're going to just teach on baptism in the Holy Spirit. This is how it works. Because we feel that if you understand how it works, then you will be able to accept the Holy Spirit. And the Lord actually came this week and said, there's another way. Instead of teaching on these things, I want you to teach on connecting with me first. And then through the connection with me, through understanding my heart, the Father's heart, through understanding why do I want to give you the Holy Spirit? Through a desire for the Holy Spirit, just a hunger for the Holy Spirit. Just through that, I will do what I want to do this morning. And that is my advice. So if there's people that have never been baptized in the Holy Spirit, this, without having to teach you that, just come with a desire and say, I want to be baptized this morning. If you want a fresh infilling of the Holy Spirit, come this morning and say, I want a fresh infilling of the Holy Spirit. Not through understanding how it works, but through having the desire to come to the Father and say, Father, I want it for myself. Is that good?
Yeah.
So, we're talking about in and through. And my mom came to me this week, and I want to honor her for just hearing so well from the Holy Spirit, because he works in this way. Often the Lord does that. And she said this word, partaker. Partaker. Who has ever heard of the word? It's very used very often in the Bible. Being a partaker. Wie het al daarvan gehoor? Weet jy daarvan? Dis nou daar is letterlik een. Jy nog ooit daarvan gehoor het? Wat sê dit in Afrikaans?
Deelnemer.
Ja. And you've heard it said before that they said that Christianity, following Jesus, is not a spectator sport. It's something that you part of. But as I delved into this term, this concept of being a partaker, when I looked at what the Bible means, yes, man, it just went way deeper. It had such a deeper meaning than just taking part. And I think that's the mistake that we as leaders so often make, is that when people come to church, when people form part of church, I feel that if Chris just takes part, that's going to be enough. I feel that if he's part of the worship team, if he's part of the sound team, if he's part of a community, that's going to be enough. But you can be part of something and in your heart you're not part of that. And that's where the depth of a partaker comes in. Being part and being a partaker are two completely separate things. And this morning. Who's, where are all the Amavinyan? You guys taught us as parents. Listen up. You taught us as parents the difference between being part and being partakers. You could have easily worshipped with us on a Sunday morning and just stood next to your dad. You could have offered summit. You could have offered summit with the summit. That would have been part of. But there's a difference. I don't know what it did. I don't know who did it. I don't know who. I never preached it. But something in you clicked. And you, there was something in you brought that thing where I'm not just going to be part of this thing. I want to partake. And we're seeing it on a Sunday morning where our kids are standing here worshiping the Lord on their knees. And that's the difference of being part and being a partaker, where you give of yourself and where you are actually involved in what the Lord is doing at that time. And I want to honor you, kids, and that's why I felt this morning, I don't want you to miss out on what the Lord wants to do this morning. Equally here with the full year, it's for more for elke ene van julle, but ook wanneer julle die voorslag wat ons worship op 'n Sondagoggend, dat dit vir julle iets gaan beteken. So liefies, jy moet ook luister. Jesus is vir jou ook iets vanmôre. So ek is bly dat julle hier so saam met ons is. The word partaker means to be a participant, a sharer, a partner with God. Partner, participant, not just to be part. And the heart of a partaker lies in with God. It lies in with God, not just for God, but with God. That's the difference. We can be in church, we can be part of a church for God and for one another. But it is when we start doing this thing with one another that we do the transition into being a partaker. It's an invitation from Jesus. It's an invitation from God to do things with Him. And that, in essence, is what the Holy Spirit is all about. The Holy Spirit is the one that brings us from a place of being part of into bringing us to a place of being a partaker. That's the role of the Holy Spirit. That's what comes with Him, the power that comes with Him. John 15, look at this, what Jesus says. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends. For everything that I've learned from my Father, I have made known to you. Jesus' heart is that we partner with Him. He wants us to know what He's busy with. He wants us to know what is going on in His house, not just being in His house. You know, a servant is in the house the whole day, cleaning, sweeping, making food, brings it to the master, and what happens after that? Where does the servant go and eat his food? In the servant quarters. Where does the servant sleep? In the servant's quarters, in a different building, in a different house. God says, no, you are no longer servants. It's not just for me. I don't want you to do things for me. I want you to do things with me. And therefore, I've created this place where I've got a table, and I want you, don't go out and eat your food in the servant's quarters. Eat it at my table. Eat with me. Sleep in the same house that I am, because I want you to be part of me and what I'm busy with. That's the God that we serve. That's the purpose of the Holy Spirit. Not outside, but inside. The Holy Spirit is the personification of God's heart and His intention and His desire to be with us. Did you hear that? God wants to be with us. It's always been His desire to be with His creation. Since the day that Adam and Eve spoiled it in the garden, since the day that you and I constantly spoil it with the actions and the reactions and sin in our lives, daily I spoil it for myself. But that's where the Holy Spirit comes in. Ezekiel, let's read Ezekiel together. They will live, this is actually a word that's written for Israel, I know that, alright? But there's something of God's heart that comes through, God's character that comes through, because the same thing that He says about Israel back there, it's the same thing that He's saying about me and you. They will live in the land I gave to my servant, Jacob. You can say Anelim and Chad and Villa to my servant. The land where your fathers lived. This is not a physical land. It's a spiritual land. It's being with Him They and their children and their children's children will live there, there forever, and David, my servant, will be their prince forever. I will make a covenant of peace. Who's the covenant of peace?
Jesus.
Jesus. I will make a covenant of peace with them. I will be an ever, it will be an everlasting covenant. I will establish them and increase their numbers. I will put my sanctuary among them forever. Verse 27, my dwelling place will be with them. I will be their God and they will be my people. And then the nations will know that I, the Lord, will make Israel holy when my sanctuary is among them forever. God wants to be with us. I want to tell you a story. You can put up that picture. Well done, man. You're doing good. Well done. I think some of you have heard the story before, but I'm going to retell it because it's such a picture for me of God with us. We went to Stillby a few years ago. That's little Vian. And he was playing in the sand. And all the bigger kids were building castles and stuff for themselves, and they were just having a bunch of fun. And I was actually just in my own little world doing my own little thing. And Vian, because he's so little, he was struggling to get enough sand together to build something, you know, that looks like some of the other kids. And I can see him getting frustrated, and I can see he wanted that, what that kids had, but he just didn't have it in him. And the Lord spoke to me, and he said, go and help your boy. And I walked to him, and we started bowling together. Yes, man. It was such a moment, for the first time in my life, there was such a father-son moment, where I started to bowl with him. And I saw something in him. You should have seen the excitement in that boy. That entire time, I think we were there for 2 hours. I think we were there for something like 2 hours. And we were building that thing. And then the water came and it splashed at him. We started over again. And there was just some beauty about doing it with my boy. And it's something that the Lord wants to say to us this morning. I don't want you to build things for me. I don't want you to build things for me. Do you hear what I'm saying this morning? Your family, your relationships, your work, your career. Don't build your career for God. Build your career with God. He wants to be involved. That's why He gave us the Holy Spirit. So that He can build with us. That's what it means to be a partaker. A partaker with God, being in partnership with God, allowing God to do things through my life, means doing things with Him, with His Holy Spirit. You know, partaking speaks more about God's character than it speaks about my abilities and my skills. We didn't have the skills. Via didn't have the ability to build something that will last when the waves came. But because I was there, we managed to build something that actually lasted. And so when God invites us to partake with Him through His Holy Spirit, it speaks more about His ability than it speaks about my ability. Yeah. Stem jylle saam?
Ja.
Jylle stil vanmôre. Whenever the Bible speaks about being partakers in the kingdom and with Him, it speaks more towards relationships rather than function. Who's doing church because of the function that you're doing in church? The function, the role that you're doing in church. When God asks us to partake with Him, it's not about the function that you do for us. It's not what you do for us. It is actually an invitation to do this with us. It's being in a relationship with Him and being in a relationship with us. If Chris is just a function to play the cajon every Sunday morning and he does it well, we've missed the point of church. We've missed the point of church family. That is actually just a method, something that brings us closer together. That's the point. Coffee and tea table set up on a Sunday morning. We should never remain in a place of function. We should always look at, Lord, bring us to rest. And you know who helps us do that? The Holy Spirit. We've got a desire to build strong relationships. And know that we need the Holy Spirit. We can't do it on ourselves. And you know what actually is the driving force that brings us to a place where we can walk away from function, that we can walk away from obligation, that we can walk away from I have to, and it becomes something that I want to, that it becomes something that binds us closer together as a family, that brings unity. You know what makes the difference? Love. That makes the difference. Love. And that's why I say, God wanting us to be partakers in His kingdom, partakers in the church, partakers in this church family. It speaks more about His character than it's actually speaking about my abilities. And God wanting to use me. He doesn't need my help. But He uses my help in order to bring across His character. 1 John 4. Such a short little verse, but such a powerful one. We love because He first loved us. You know what, why God gave us the Holy Spirit? Because He loves us. Not because He wants you to do stuff for Him. God doesn't want to empower you to do things for Him in His kingdom. God gave you the Holy Spirit because He loves you. And He wants to do this with you. That's why He gave you the Holy Spirit. God is constantly making room. God is constantly making room in the kingdom. In church, He's making room for more people. God says in the Bible, He says, Jesus is currently in heaven making room for you and me. He's making room for as many people that will believe in Him. He's making room constantly. And He loves us. That's His driving force. He loves us. He wants everybody. John 3 verse 16 says this. For God so loved the world, John 3 verse 16, for God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life. God is in a constant process of making room. That's what He's busy with. And He gave us the Holy Spirit so that we can partake with Him in making room for more people, more souls, making room for one another in this kingdom, making room for other gifting and other people that come and bring themselves and say, I want to serve God and I need to make room for you to come and live your gifting and what God has put in you. We make room for that. And the way that we do that, the one that helps us do that, is the Holy Spirit. Is that good?
Say, Melissa, praat ek te
ernstig?
No. Voel amper vir 'n oomblik ek praat ernstig. Ek klein nie meer julle nie, hoor. This is actually, I'm excited about this. When I
the Lord spoke to me this week about this thing, it's a fresh, I get it now. I get why the Holy Spirit is here. I get it why the Lord wants to give us this Holy Spirit of Him. I get it now. It's about worth, it's about love, it's about relationship. It's about Him not wanting you to struggle to do things, Christian. Here when they feel makkelijker, but they swing for you. And all that you're doing is to say, Here, Heilige God, I want to do this. I want to partake with you. Sanctification. Who's ever experienced sanctification? Heilig maak. Christian is dan wanneer jy sukkel met iets, jy vloek. En nou sê jy vir jou, hey, nee, jy moet vloek nie. Dit's beter vir jou. Nou moet jy die Heilige Gees vertrou en sê, oh, nou moet die Heilige Gees my help. Who's ever experienced sanctification in their life before? I see some of you here. Now it's some angels here. All of us. Because we're all born with flesh. We're all born with our sinful nature. And so what happens is because we come with our sinful nature, because we are actually rotten and filthy and we're just far away from God, and then God starts off a process with us to change us. And the Bible says He's changing us into the image of Jesus constantly and over and over. And that process is called sanctification. But you know what? Sanctification can be one of two things. It can either be the biggest cross in your life. It can be the biggest struggle. It can be the biggest frustration. It can be the biggest in your life. Or it can actually be something in your life that allows you, through the Holy Spirit, to partake in God's glory. And I'm going to explain it now. 1 Peter, listen to this. 1 Peter 5. In his kindness, just see this. Just say it to yourself. God is actually kind to us. Say it to yourself. God is kind to me. God is actually kind to me. The Holy Spirit, the reason why he gave them is because he's kind to us. He didn't have to, but he knew we would struggle. He knew we would get frustrated. He knew we were going to struggle to do this. And God was kind to us. In his kindness, God called you to his glory, eternal glory, by means of Jesus Christ. And then after you have suffered a little while, why suffer? Because God restoring, that's not easy. When God wants to come and heal some wounds, when he wants to come and restore you back into that image of Jesus, it's not an easy process. Daar's nog 'n traan en daar 'n verbonde. Dis nie lekker nie. But he knew that with his Holy Spirit, when he gives his Holy Spirit, it helps the medicine go down. It helps the medicine go down. And that's why he said he will restore, he will support, he will strengthen you when he does this work in you. And he will place you on a firm foundation. All power is his forever and ever. I want to say, are you scared this morning of sanctification? Is it a place? Is it a something in your life that actually scares you? Is it actually something? Is it, I don't want to go there again. Every time when the Lord expects me to leave something in my life, if he expects me to come and take something of my sinful nature, it's a bad process. I hate that process. If that's you, the Lord wants to say, have you ever surrendered to my Holy Spirit? Because I want to make it easier for you. I want to take you through this process. I want to do it with you this morning. It's his kindness. Listen to this. 2 Thessalonians 2. But we ought to always thank God for you, brothers, loved by the Lord, because from the beginning God chose you to be saved through the sanctifying work of the Spirit and through belief in the truth. Interesting that he says it's not just belief, ne? Just the side note. They often, for those guys, once saved, always saved guys, ne? Interesting that he says there's two things. Belief, yeah, we need to believe in the Lord. But then he also says, through the sanctifying work of the Spirit. That's what saves us. Constantly giving ourselves to the Lord. Constantly surrendering ourselves to the Lord. And then he says this, verse 14. He called you to this through our gospel so that you might what? That word partake. So that you might share in his glory. I want to ask you something. Have you ever got to that place where Jesus does something in you and he changes something in you? Where you are that river, that sometimes that river runs dry, and then you come to the Lord and you say, Lord Jesus, I want you to help me so that this river might be full, always full. Who's ever got to that place where Jesus has actually brought you breakthrough in an area? Just raise your hand. I want you to, this is a testimony to the Lord. Have you ever brought something to the Lord and he's brought breakthrough in that area? Something that you struggled with, something in your personality that has changed you. You know what that is? When God has the ability to do that, that means sharing in the glory of God. Because when people look at you, when you look at yourself and you see, wow, wow, I can't believe that you managed to change me in this way. I can't believe that you had the ability to change me in this way. Glory to you. And people look at you and then they will start to skitter about you in a good way. Have you seen Nils lately? There's something different about that guy. I hardly recognize him. What happened? And the glory of Jesus shines from him as God has the ability to change him. And that is partaking in the glory of Jesus. Hoeveel tyd het ek oor? Kan ek nog 'n bietjie aangaan? I've got two more things. This is a... Dit gaan 'n bietjie langer wees volgende. Is dit oukei met julle? Julle raai. to feel that this is so important that we understand what God's heart is. I wanna go to a story. I listened to a preach this week. Did you listen to the preach last night? Did you have time?
This morning, about 17 minutes, and I realized it's going to be too long.
Good. So I thought to myself, I shared it with Mark as well. Luke Watson did a preach on the prodigal son. Who knows the story about the prodigal son? Can I assume everybody knows about the lost son? The son that's wandering all his days. I want to say this. All of us, are that son. Not just before I was saved, but even today. Each one of us, from time to time, not because we always want to, but because sometimes we just weak in that area. We're weak in our flesh. From time to time, Jesus has given us everything that we need, but yet we decide not to take that. Yet we decide, and in a sense, it is that rich inheritance from our Father that each one of us received, and yet we squander it. Yet we give it away. We don't use that. We don't honor Him with that. And at some point, all of us get to that place where God wanted to free you of something, where God wanted to do something through you. Go and give them encouraging word. You say, no, I can't see. And you don't do it. Have you ever felt that sense of regret? That sense of, I messed it up. I didn't do what God wanted me to do. Have you ever experienced that? Man, it sucks. I'm telling you, it sucks when you get to that point when your heart is beating and you've got the words, you've got everything in your heart, but you just did not have the confidence, you did not have the boldness to go and encourage someone, to come and pray for someone, and that regret that fills you. And then you feel like you've been sitting with the pigs for so long. I remember many times I struggled with some sin in my life that I just could not get freedom from. And I remember many times when I had to go back to the Lord, and I knew there was nowhere else I could go. I fell, I sinned again, and I knew I couldn't go anywhere. Where would I go? I don't want to go to hell. So I'm not going to stay in my sin. So the only place that I can go is back to my Father. And I remember how many times I had to go on a Monday morning. Normally it was after a weekend. And I had to go back to my dad and I said, Father, I'm sorry. I know this is like the 200th time that I said sorry about the same old thing. And I feel so useless. I feel so bad. I just can't win this thing. And every single time, He forgave me. And He just embraced me. And I want to read you this scripture. Don't put up the scripture yet. I want to say, each one of us from time to time will have something that we mess up. Each one of us will have something that we say, Lord, I don't know if I can go back, but this is more. The Holy Spirit, God giving us the Holy Spirit, says more about the Father than it says about me. And this is what Luke Watson did so beautifully in his preach. And I want you guys all to go and look at that preach this afternoon. If you want to do one thing this morning to help yourself, I'm going to share that link on the... Thanks, Bruce. If you want to do one thing this afternoon, go and watch that preach. It's going to build into what the Lord wants to say to us for giving His Holy Spirit. The prodigal son speaks more about the character and the love of the Father than it speaks about what the son did.
Yes.
Because we're all the son. That's not the moral of the story. That's not the big revelation. The big revelation is not the fact that the son sinned. That's the norm. The revelation is the reaction of the Father. I want us to read that together out of the book of Matthew. Look at this. So he got up and he went to his father. Look at this. This is so beautiful. But while he was still a long way off, you know that the Father knows what you're doing. He knows where you are at. And he's just waiting. He's waiting. He knows where to look for you. He knew what direction to look. He knew in what direction his son is going to come from. And he's still a long way off. The father saw him and he was filled with compassion Who does not feel God's compassion for you this morning? That's where the Holy Spirit comes in. That's why we need the Holy Spirit. He is the one that gives us the ability to receive God's compassion for us, even though we sin, even though we dropped God. And then he's filled with compassion. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and he kissed him. And the son said to his father, "Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called the son." Who's felt like that before? I have. But the father said to his servants, "Quick." And this is a process, what the Lord does. And I'm not going to go into that. Luke does this beautifully, where he unpacks what the father does to the son. And I'm not going to do it now. But that's why I'm hoping I'm creating a bit of hunger that can go and listen to that preach. He says, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and he's alive again. He was lost and he found. So they began to celebrate. I want to ask you this morning. What was the key for the son to be in a position and able to partake, to participate in that party, in that celebration? What was the thing that helped him, that was so necessary for him to sit at that table and not run off to the servant quarters and say, "I'd rather sit in the servant quarters"? What was the key?
He was a son.
He received.
He was able to receive his father's forgiveness. And that is what the Holy Spirit has for you. The Holy Spirit takes that forgiveness of the Father. And when we repent and when we say that, "I'm so sorry," the Holy Spirit is the one that brings it. He brings forgiveness to me. I will not be able to receive, I will not be able to have that forgiveness of the Father if it is not for the Holy Spirit. I will not be able to receive and feel and experience again the Father's compassion and the Father's love for me if it is not for the Holy Spirit. And that's why we are so desperately in need for the Holy Spirit to be functioning in our hearts and to be with us. Otherwise we will never be able. Condemnation, if you're under condemnation, look to the Lord. Say, "Lord, I need your Holy Spirit this morning. I need your Holy Spirit this morning." Is that good? I'm going to end off the last part. You see, the Holy Spirit is the one that does this powerful, mighty exchange in our lives. He is the one that has the ability when the Lord, you know, the son came to the father with his filthy clothes on. He didn't come naked. So he probably reeked of pig. He reeked of his sin. Everything, all of his sin was on him. And what happens is there's an exchange that takes place. And the only one that can do that exchange in your heart and in your spirit is the Holy Spirit. You need him for that. You don't have the ability to do it yourself. And that is the exchange that happens where the Father comes and he takes off that filthy rags. Where the Lord comes and he strips you of that hurt, that thing that is keeping that walls up, the thing that is keeping you from really serving the Lord, that is keeping you from experiencing the love of the Lord. Where you bring that to the Lord and you say, "Lord, I want to give you my hurt. I want to give you my sin. I want to give you the things in my life that I'm struggling with. I want to receive restoration. I want to receive healing." You know who does that exchange? It's the Holy Spirit. He is the one that is between us and the Father, and he brings us this and he takes that. There's the scripture in the Old Testament that we're going to read together. Look at this picture that the Lord says here. It's a beautiful picture. Isaiah says, "And I provide for those who believe in Zion to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. They will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of His splendor. I feel that even this morning, God wants to come and make a holy exchange with each one of us, that He's willing to surrender and submit to His Holy Spirit this morning. I'm going to actually end it there. I've got one more piece, but I think we can do that in another time. I want to end it there. I feel that this morning, the Lord wants to come and bring an exchange. My abilities, who I am, and I want to come and bring that and surrender that to the Lord and say, Lord, You don't need more of me in that sense. You don't need more of my participation in that sense. You need more of me, the person who I am, who You created me to be. And I need more of Your Spirit. I need more of Your Spirit. If I want to walk in the things that You've got for me, if I want to walk in what You have because You love me, I need more of Your Spirit. Is that good? I'm going to give two opportunities this morning. The first one is just going to be for all of us. It's actually not going to be a choice. I'm going to force you to do it. The first one is going to be for all of us. I really believe the Lord just wants to shower His Spirit on us. We've got a song that we're going to play about the goodness of the Father. And I believe that as we sing that song, or not sing that song, but as we just give ourselves during the song is just the background. This is actually between you and the Lord. And I want every one of us just to come before the Lord and just posture yourself before Him and say, Lord Jesus, I want to receive kids. Kids, this is where you come into play as well. Do you need the Holy Spirit? Ja, die Heilige Gees nodig, kindies. Wil jy die Heilige Gees hê? Nee? Wat die kinders het, wat hulle die Here vir julle gegee het. I believe most of our kids have had that opportunity. So what happens is that the Holy Spirit comes and fills us afresh. It can happen 100 times. It can happen 1,000,000 times. The Bible talks about being refreshed in the Spirit. And an infreshing filling of the Holy Spirit. And so it can happen often, and more as often as we can. And so even you, take part. Come to Jesus and say, Jesus, dads, moms, help your kids this morning. Explain it to them, help them to do it. But I think it's so important that we guide them into that. They need it just as much as we do. And so we're going to just surrender to the Lord in this first part. And we're going to give the Lord an opportunity just to fill us afresh. Is that good? We're not going to have anybody pray for you as such. And what we're going to do then after that, I do feel that there is people this morning that needs to just come out and just let people pray for you. You know who you are. People that might be saying, listen, I've been struggling for something for way too long. People that say, listen, I need this deeper infilling of the Holy Spirit. Maybe there's someone that has never been baptized in the Spirit before. And you're hearing it for the first time and you said, listen, this is something I've never been, I don't even know if I've got the Holy Spirit in me. Come, I'm going to pray with you in that. Is that good? Why is my mana wat saam wil hier? Is that good, guys? Do you feeling something else? Or is it good?
It's good.
Okay. Let's stand.